This morning, my little burden is maybe a little bit different. It will be more along the line of an instructional type of presentation today. I feel like different times the Lord has different ways of using ministry. And as a pastor, I'd like to be able to just say, okay, all of it's going to be just encouragement and make you feel uplifted and always on top of the mountain. But this morning I have something that is a burden and concern, something that's very prevalent in our society. I think we would do well to visit for a little while today. So I ask for your prayers. My burden is internet, media, and our children. In doing a little studying for this, I ran across an image. It was like a road sign. And at the top of the road sign was a big sign that said media. And underneath that sign were other small signs pointing the different directions with media. Newspaper, magazines, television, internet, social networking. All of those things, folks, are things that you and I have to deal with today. There was a time not too many years ago when those items weren't so much of a factor, although I suppose they were to some degree, because always there has been an effort by the enemy of our souls to do anything that he possibly can and use any source that he possibly can to cause God's creation, humanity, to be turned away from the direction of God. So he has always used different forms of media to attract our attention. Radio, the television, the newspapers, those things. Some people are really addicted to news, newspapers. They just can't function throughout the day without knowing the latest headlines that are going on. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be somewhat wise to the things that are happening in our world, but there is a difference between having an interest and being just obsessed by it. So this morning I'd like to read a few verses, beginning with the Psalms 101. And the first verse, a psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Many times in this little passage, this third verse is one that has been used to make an argument against visible media such as television. And I'm not going to say that it's not an effective verse for that, but we have so much more today that we're dealing with rather than just the television media. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We are dealing with a world today, folks, that has before it just about any time that you want to. If you own a smartphone, if you own a tablet, if you own a computer, you have the potential to have before you at any moment any form of media to distract you. And those things, while in and of itself is not wicked, they have great potential to cause wickedness to be presented to you. And because of the ability now that we have to have these little small devices so easily tucked away in our pockets, so easily tucked away in a corner somewhere, so easy that I could just bring up any form of media that I want to on these smart devices, and I can, in a private little corner somewhere, with very little glow from a screen, see the things that I want to see, the things that interest me. And if those things happen to be what the world has turned loose in a complete tsunami wave on our society, we put ourselves in serious jeopardy. Some things are not comfortable to speak about, and I'm not going to just spend a lot of time on this topic, but I want you to know something that has been absolutely turned loose, and it is a tsunami in our world today, and that is pornography. Folks, it's just about everywhere. And if you own a smartphone, tablet, smart device, you have something in your hand, in your possession, that can be used by the enemy of your soul to entrap you and ensnare you and cause you to be engulfed in that world. That's my burden and concern this morning, that we do everything that we can to watch out for the things around us. The Scripture in 1 Corinthians 7:31 says, "And they that use this world is not abusing it." I remember being in a little ministries meeting. Brother Leslie Busby was speaking some things to us. At that time, it's been several years ago, the main concern and topic of that little discussion was the VCR. How many people in here today even remember what a VCR is? Probably some of you children wouldn't even know what a VCR is. I'll tell you what it is. It's a video cassette recorder. It has the ability to play back media through a recording device, a playback device. And you had to have the means, a television or some type of means, to have the sound and the image projected onto a screen. But that was a topic of discussion at that point, VCR. Oh, we've gone so much farther than VCR today. You don't have to have a VCR to see what you want to see. In just a couple of minutes' time, I could take this little device right here, and I could go on to Safari, and I could bring up YouTube, and I could type in probably any topic that you want, and I could probably find you a video clip or a movie about anything you wanted to watch. And in just a matter of a couple of minutes, you could be sitting down watching a movie. No need for a VCR today, folks. That thing is outdated. But that was a topic of discussion then. But we've moved far beyond that because we're such an intelligent and advanced society to where we know the things that we need to do. And I'm not going to say to you that I am condemning these devices, but we need to be careful how these devices are used. That's what we need to be careful of. They that use this world is not abusing it. One of the terms that was brought up in that little conversation that day was the word amuse. Amuse. To muse means to think or to ponder on something. But when you put the little letter A in front of it, it means something very different. It means not to think. No think. It means that something else is thinking for you. And if you use these devices for your entertainments, then you are allowing those things to control your process of your mind, where you're not thinking, but you are allowing something else to think for you. You're being entertained by those things. Now, I will be honest with you. I use this device. Many times, I have looked at a little clip, a YouTube clip, to help me figure out how to fix something. Working on a refrigerator, working on an appliance, working on a piece of equipment. There's a lot of good information out there, but you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful, because it's also bad information. Book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. Says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, in time past, here in the congregation, we've had some studies about that little scripture. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But I'm going to broaden that to just not just say, and ye fathers, but ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath. There are many ways to provoke our children to wrath. And one of the ways is by not giving them boundaries, by not giving them parameters, by not giving them constructive instructions to know what the limitations in life are. Because if we don't do it now, and they grow up and they're put into a society where they suddenly find that there are boundaries, there are parameters, and there are things that they have to learn to how to follow instructions, and they have not been taught to have restrictive things in their lives, that the things that we have not done can cause frustration to them because they've never been taught. That is one way to provoke them to wrath, because we didn't put the fundamental things there. And now here they are. And then why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't you teach me about this? And now here I am, and I'm angry. I'm frustrated in life. Fathers, parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Fornication, the Greek word there is porneia. Porneia. It goes much farther than just fornication, the word and the act of fornication. It encompasses anything, everything under that umbrella of porneia. And you know that that word, porneia, is a root word for pornography. It's one of the issues that we deal with in a society today, folks, very, very prevalent. All uncleanness or covetousness. Covetousness is just constantly wanting more. More, 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 more. We're dealing with a culture that is thinking that way. More, 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 more. One of the reasons why is there's not been limitations put on them. 14th verse. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Circumspectly means literally looking on all sides, looking around, cautious, prudent, watchful on all sides, examining carefully all the circumstances that may affect a determination or a measure to be adopted. So, very fitting little scripture. See that you walk circumspectly. Now this morning, we're about to change gears a little bit here. I'm going to get away from the scripture portion of it and go into the technical portion of it, where there's information to share. And I'd like to, if you have interest in this and take notes, this would be the time to start taking some notes, because there's going to be some numbers put out. The sources, I like to try to quote my sources and name the sources, acknowledge the sources. American Psychological Association, APA, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Children's use of media is increasing, and here are the facts from the Kaiser Family Foundation. Now, this is a study. The last study from this foundation was in January of 2010. It is the most recent study done. However, there are many people who cite this study and recognize it as being a very effective study, a very comprehensive study of the impact of media. All right? For children, in 2010, these numbers, for children ages 8 to 18 years of age, they have 458 minutes of media use or exposure in a day. That's just over 7.5 hours. That sounds drastic, doesn't it? 7.5 hours. I'm going to start putting some numbers on the board here. Children's consumption of electronic media is increasing, resulting in large part from technological transformations, easy access to and ownership of mobile devices, especially cell phones, popular activities like social networking. According to Kaiser's most recent report, 20% of media consumption comes from mobile devices. So there are some of the numbers. Television, 4 hours, 29 minutes. It's as of 2009. Music and audio, 2 hours, 31 minutes. Computer, hour and 29 minutes. Video games, hour and 13 minutes. Print, 38 minutes. Print means magazines, catalogs, movies, newspapers, flyers, things of that nature. Movies, 25 minutes. Now, one I didn't put up here was multitasking in a percentage, which is 29%, which means multitasking. While I'm watching TV, I may be on the computer. While I'm reading the newspaper, I may be watching TV. Something of that nature, multitasking. While I'm listening to music, I may be reading the newspaper. When you figure in the numbers for multitasking, the 29% multitasking, if, as this report indicates, children spend an average of 37 hours and 38 minutes a day on media, all right, when they factor in the multitasking, it's 10 hours and 45 minutes that is compacted into a day's time. 10 hours, 45 minutes. Because they're not just doing one of these at the time. They may be doing two or three things at the same time, packing more information, more of that multitasking, more of that media exposure at the same time. So let's just think about this. If a child spends 7 hours and 38 minutes a day on media, and if they are in school 7 hours a day, and if they sleep 7 hours a day, how much time does that leave for other interactions? 7 and 7 and 7 is 21. So that would leave about 3 hours per day for other interactions, would it not? 24 hours in a day. So if that's the case, how much time do our children actually have to use their minds being creative? Rather than being amused, but being creative. Actually learning how to interact with one another, with society, with parents. Today, 8 to 18-year-olds devote an average of 7 hours and 38 minutes to using entertainment across a typical day, more than 53 hours a week. And because they spend so much of that time media multitasking, they manage to pack a total of 10 hours, 45 minutes into those 7.5 hours. Rules. Rules about media content. Fewer than half of all 8 to 18-year-olds say they have rules about what they can watch. Fewer than half. They don't have any rules. No restrictions. Just here. Have fun. Here. Have one of these. With no rules, no restrictions on what they can do, what they can watch. Video games they can play, they have no restrictions on those. 30%, less than half. Or the music they're allowed to listen to, only 26%. Only half, about half, say they have rules about what they can do on a computer. Media. Folks, this world, the enemy of our souls, knows how to use media to entrap and ensnare. I just recently, just in the last couple of days, read an article that President Obama gave a speech at some type of a boys' club area, and he was recognizing and acknowledging that the hip-hop and the rap that he was involved in and listened to as he was growing up, looking at in today's society, is causing damage to our youth. But here, have one of these. Have no rules, no restrictions on what they see, what they hear, what they're exposed to. Here, have one of these. What you going to do with it? Whatever you want. What are my rules? Just here, have one of these. Take it, have fun with it. May I say to us here this morning, folks, if that's your situation, if, parents, you have handed your children one of these with no rules and restrictions on it, I say you need to think. My advice to you is consider the potential damage that is there with no rules, no regulations, and no restrictions. Fathers, parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. According to a review of 173 studies, several, I'm not even going to try to name any of them, there were identified statistically significant associations between greater media exposure with negative health outcomes, such as obesity, tobacco use, sexual behavior, drug and alcohol use, and low academic achievement. Folks, these aren't my terms. These are terms that come from American Psychological Association, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Heavy media users report getting lower grades in school. A cause and effect relationship has not been demonstrated, but 47% of heavy users say they have mostly grades C or lower. Screen time can be very habit-forming. Once they're exposed to it, if you think it's not so, folks, just observe, children. Screen time can be very habit-forming. Once they have it, once they see it, once they're exposed to it, it can be something that they constantly want to have in their hand. Can I have this? Can I have the iPad? Can I do this? Can I play this? Can I play this game? Can I do this game? Why don't we go outside and play? Why don't we go outside and figure out how to make a stick horse? Why don't we go outside and figure out how to tie things together and make a swing? Why don't we do those kinds of creative things where I'm using my mind and not realizing and figuring out how to do things that are, maybe they don't always work, but I tried it and it failed and I realized it didn't work. So as the old saying is, back to the drawing board. We're losing that ability to have people, children, youngsters, having the ability to have creative minds because of amuse. Being amused and entertained constantly by things that take away their opportunities. And if we're not careful, folks, we allow it. According to these studies, half and half. Half of them have no rules, no restrictions, no guidelines. Here, have one of these and just have a good day. The more children are exposed to screens, the harder it will be to turn off the screen when they are older. More time the preschool children spend on screens is less time in the real world for creative play, creativity, face-to-face social interactions, physical activities, and time interacting with parents and caregivers. The internet has also created opportunities for the exploitation of children by sex offenders through, hear this again, the internet has created opportunities for the exploitation of children by sex offenders through social networking, chat rooms, email, and online games. But here, have fun. And we don't know who they're talking to, who they're chatting with, who they're interacting with. And the next thing we know, folks, over and over again in our society today, someone disappears, someone is kidnapped, someone has gone away because they have been lured, they have been taken advantage of, and they're gone. Maybe never seen again. Hauled away somewhere, belonging to someone else, doing their bidding. And if we're not careful, by not allowing restrictions on these devices, we put that possibility into their hands. How can parents limit children's exposure to media and negative impact? Follow the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation of no screen time for children under the age of 2. 0. No screen time. This isn't church. This is American Academy of Pediatrics saying children under 2, no screen time. Keep TV, computer, and other electronic media out of the bedroom so you can monitor. Does your child go to bed at night with their electronic device? Are they allowed to take their iPod, iPad, cell phone, smartphone, computer to bed with them at night? What are they doing at night? If they're taking their thing with them into bed at night in the bedroom and you're not in the bedroom with them, what are they doing with it? Do you know? Are you aware of it? Do you know how much time they're spending on it? Do you check? Do you pick it up and scroll through it from time to time and see what they're doing, where they've been? Do we do those things? Do we try to monitor those kind of situations? Unplug. Have screen-free days. Do something else. Plan what they can watch and play with. Share rules with them. Limit the amount of time they can use the media. Monitor it. Do different things with children, things appropriate to their ages. Avoid using media as the only way to calm your child. Avoid using media as the only way to calm your child. Although there are intermittent times when media is useful as a soothing strategy, there is concern that using media as a strategy to calm could lead to problems with limit setting or the inability of children to develop their own emotion regulation. Monitor their media content. What apps are used or downloaded? Test the apps before they use them. Play together. Ask them what they think about the app. Keep bedrooms, meal times, and parent-child playtime screen-free for children and parents. No screens 1 hour before bedtime. And remove devices from bedrooms before bed. That's not my words. It's good advice. I wholeheartedly agree with it. The American Academy of Pediatrics says, remove devices from bedrooms before bed. Now, we talked about children. Numbers for children. Here's numbers for adults. TV, 4 hours. Mobile devices, 3 hours, 15 minutes. Online, laptop, computer, desktop, 2 hours. Radio, 1.5 hours. Other connected devices, 1/2 hour. Print, 1/2 hour. Other, 15 minutes. For a total of adults, 722 minutes a day, 12 hours. What kind of example are we setting? Adults. What kind of example are we setting when we go sit at the table? We're going to sit around and eat a meal. And as we sit down to eat a meal, prop this up. Or I can scroll through it and see what messages, emails. Folks, look, I live in the same world you live in. These are challenges that every one of us face. But we have a serious epidemic in our society today. And it's stealing from us. It's stealing our children from us. It's stealing their ability to be able to function in a society. It's stealing their ability to be able to have creative minds. I have enjoyed being able to get away sometimes in quiet solitude where you can just stop and think a little while. Pay attention to your surroundings. Watch what's going on around you. Getting away from the hustle and bustle and the noise. But this morning, my little burden and concern is that we look out for these things that are going on around us, internet, media, and our children. Knowing that there is a trap set to steal your children away from you. The enemy is doing everything that he possibly can do to rob them of opportunity. To take away our opportunity to have enjoyable time with them together. I want my children, I want my grandchildren to want to play outside. I sent a picture the other day. We've got a tree in our backyard. Some of you may know the one I'm talking about, just right off the patio. Vitex or something, I don't know what it for sure is called. But anyway, it's a big bushy tree. I've got some pictures on my device of children climbing all over that tree. The lower limbs are smooth. The bark is worn smooth because they climb all over that tree. Sometimes I look outside and I see muddy footprints all over the patio. I find little rocks here and there, arrows that were misplaced, shot and forgotten. Not that they're careless and reckless about those things, but children. And I look at those pictures and I look at the tree and I go out there sometimes. And a while back, I have a picture of two of the boys had climbed up in that tree, one sitting on one side, one on another side on a limb, and they were talking back and forth to one another. And I said to myself, I want to get that picture. I hurried up and I went, I got that picture. I thought, this is what we want. We want them to enjoy those kinds of times where they can go outside and this tree is not a tree. This tree is a tree stand. Or this tree is a robber's hideout. Or this tree is a pirate ship. Or whatever that tree might be at the moment. Let it be that. Let it be their imaginations working and their thoughts working and running and having creative time of play. Folks, we desperately need that in our children's lives. We need to encourage that. We need to foster that. We want them to feel that there are places for them. We want them to know that we care about them. Yeah, do we get muddy footprints sometimes tracked in the house because it's been so awfully wet? And is that a little bit inconvenient sometimes to have to go clean all that? Yes, it is inconvenient sometimes, but these little folks are going to grow up one day. And there may be a day when we wish we could have those little muddy footprints again. And where will they be then in life? Where will they have gone then? What things are we instilling in them now? We want them to be able to have a life of productivity. We want them to be able to have a life that is fulfilled. Not in the things of this world, although we want them to be successful. We want them to be able to do well. We want them to be able to support a family. But we want them to have a well-rounded life. And we want God to be a component in that life. We want God to be there because we want them to have learned about who God is. And if we don't take away, if we don't do something about these things, they're taking away the opportunities that we have to interact and teach and instruct. And we're going to miss out on something very valuable later in life. Two scriptures in closing. Again, Ephesians 6 and 4. And ye fathers, ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then 29 and 15 of Proverbs. Here's one of these preacher statements, one of these preacher scriptures. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother, and I put in parentheses, and father, to shame. And what that means is no restrictions, no limitations. Folks, there's a price to pay for that. I pray, Lord, help us all to know how to set the boundaries that need to be set for our families, for our children. You pray for me. I want to do my part. Let's pray for one another. We've got a beautiful opportunity with these children that come together and sit in these Sunday school classes. We've got a wonderful opportunity. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. The enemy is too successful in bidding so high for their time, for their attention, and for their lives, and for their souls. We need to wage war against that. You pray for me. Amen.